Good morning, church. So glad that you're here this morning to share with us in worship. Most of you probably know me. I'm Major Renee Clark. I am very glad to be here this morning to be able to share, even though your core officer is here, come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Let's stand together as we sing. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 100 and verse 4, which the next course is based on. I'm going to put a disclaimer out there right away this morning because even though it's spring, half of me is frozen, which is I have a frozen shoulder. So I'm used to moving and swinging my arms. One goes halfway and the other one goes all the way. But if one goes too far, I might yelp. It's not part of the service or part of the sermon, okay? So that's my disclaimer. Anyway, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Holy, Lord God Almighty. Every time I do a service, this is usually at the beginning at some point. We're coming on holy ground this morning. We've given him praise already, and maybe you did that before you left your home. Holy, holy, holy. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Let's sing it together. Holy. Be seated. God, our Heavenly Father, right at the beginning of this service, we have given you praise. Praise for watching over us since we last met in this way and giving us the opportunity to come together as your people this morning to worship you. Quiet in our hearts, Lord, to receive what you want us to hear this morning with our ears, what you want us to receive with our heart. And as we come into your presence to worship you this morning. We pray that our worship will honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Open our eyes, O God.
That we may see you more clearly.
Open our ears, O God.
That we may listen closely to what you say.
Open our minds, O God.
That we may understand what it means to worship you and to learn your ways.
Open our hearts, O God.
That we may understand what it means to worship you and to learn your ways.
Open our hearts, O God.
That we may take hold of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge within your hearts.
Open our mouths, O God.
That we may make known the mystery of the gospel and sing of the whole.
Let us stand to worship as we sing, stand up and bless the Lord. So you can't sit down while you sing, you have to stand. Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of his choice. Stand up and bless the Lord, our God, with heart and soul and voice. And it's my understanding, the Corps officer has family visiting from Newfoundland, is it? Yes. You're in good company. I have a fan club here this morning, sitting back there with Major Norman. Some friends of mine, nice to have you here this morning. Melissa, Nate, and Nicole. I have only met her once. So let's see, who else is visiting here this morning? Turn to your left and say welcome. Now turn to your right. Now turn to your right and say God bless you. And let's sing, stand up and bless the Lord. And what wonderful singing this morning. Thank you for the way you put your whole self into it this morning. We're going to come together before the Lord in a time of prayer. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee. I need thee every hour. And as we come before the Lord in time of prayer together, you'll notice on the bulletin, there are some prayer requests. I don't know these people, you know them. And for those of you who don't, God knows their name, God knows their need. And so we think of Brian Page, Linda Cranford, Burl Gibbon, and Ted Lott. And so we trust that as we lift our hearts toward God this morning, that he will hear the prayers, the whispers that you send to him this morning. And then remembering church families. So important to pray for each other. Gladys Walker, Lauren and Russ Walton, Max and Jane Wheeler, Cecilia Windsor, Roland Walter, Alton and Carol White, Tom and Pearl Wilson, Norman and Nancy Wood. these are people that are here, but there may be others this morning that come to mind when you think, I need thee every hour, and there's a person out there that I think about right now that needs the Lord. And so let's bring them before the Lord as we sing, I need thee every hour. God, our Heavenly Father, you know the needs of the people that we have mentioned out loud this morning. You also know the ones that we've ascended to the throne of grace silently. And you know our own needs. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come and collectively bring those needs before you, we realize, Lord, that there's not one person in this service or listening to this service today that does not need you. We all need you in our lives, each and every day. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would meet the needs of those who are not well, those who struggle physically, financially, spiritually, relationship-wise. Maybe some are looking for work. Maybe there are others who are struggling with mental health. So many needs represented in our congregation here this morning and beyond. And so, Father, we lift them to you today. Hear our prayer, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turning to another familiar song, an old, old story. And the words say, tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Let's stand as we sing it together.
Tell me the story simply as to a little child. And as we look at the announcements for this upcoming week, if you're on the order of service, it says join us for fellowship. Well, the fellowship today after the service is not just a cup of tea and a cookie, but a potluck lunch. So please join us down in the gym for lunch after the service. Even if you didn't know and didn't come prepared, there's always plenty of food. So please join us this afternoon after the service for our potluck lunch. Next Sunday, we have Majors Kester and Catherine as our guest preachers. Major Don is still actually on vacation, but we are so happy as mom and family came, and so they were here today. But I understand that there's some side trips this week, so he is still not officially back with us. And then looking ahead, a couple of items. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then we come into Easter weekend. Good Friday service here at 6:30 in the evening, and then followed by Easter Sunday breakfast at 8:30, and then the service normally here at 10:30. So please join us. Two sign-up lists are outside the office. One for the upcoming Evergreen, which is on the Thursday after Easter, so the 13th. And then also coming up, not until the end of April, so it's lots of time for you to think about it, but there's another adult fellowship on the 29th. We had a great turnout and fun night, so we're hoping that you will come out to this one on the 29th at 6:30. And I don't know yet what's planned, but I'm sure it'll be a fun night. Now, as we take up our tithes and offering, let us pray. Lord, give us this day a grateful heart for all that we have in our lives, because we are fortunate. And now as we give back to you your rightful gift to be used for your kingdom, we ask that it be blessed, for we always ask it in your name. Amen.
Well, we are into Lenten season, and I love Easter. It's my favorite time of year is Easter. It's a time of contemplation and solitude and reflection and spiritual renewal. Spring is here. And this is one of my favorite songs that we're going to sing now. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. We're going to stand together as we sing and prepare our hearts for the Word of God this morning. A season of Lent, a season of spiritual preparation leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. There are many events leading up to this, as we find recorded in Scripture, such as the temptations of Jesus, the transfiguration, the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, the Good Samaritan, the healing of the blind man, which Colonel Ward spoke on last week, and the story of Mary and Martha, which is a passage I want us to look at this morning, in preparation for the coming days as we journey to the cross and find meaning in this journey together. And this story is taken from Luke chapter 10, our scripture reading this morning, 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to explore the teaching found in Martha's character in this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 10. November 1988. I lived in a very busy household with a husband at that time, and four children, ages 6, 4, 2, and a newborn, Dana, Deanne, Danielle, and Daryl. Don't ask. My newborn at that time was living in the living room, laying on his christening blanket, while we were waiting for the divisional commander to arrive in preparation for his christening. When he arrived, or when they arrived, he walked into our home, and my then 4-year-old greeted him with these words, "You can come in now. Mommy got the house all cleaned." My child exposed my character of how much of a Martha I was, which I never expected. Have you ever hosted a Thanksgiving dinner, a party, entertained company, and in anticipation of their arrival, were you busy getting ready? And the title of my sermon this morning, Company's Coming. Well, we've got lots of company today, so there's lots of Marthas around today. And in that preparation time, you are busy getting ready. And I'm sure that many of you can relate to my story as well as the character of Martha. So on this fifth Sunday of Lent, I invite you to meander with me through the home of Mary and Martha. Who do you identify with most in this story? Are you like me and see a lot of yourself in Martha? Martha, a dear soul given to hospitality and organization, more frugal than frivolous, more practical than pensive. Ask her to choose between a book and a broom, and she'll choose a broom. Or do you connect with Mary? She'll take the book. And her ability to be present and connected in the moment. Martha has things to do, and Mary has thoughts to think. And maybe you're not sure yet who you identify with the most. So let's explore the story together. On Jesus' journey to the cross, Jesus stops at the home of Bethany, which was the selection this morning, perfect selection for this morning. Thank you. So on Jesus' journey to the cross, he stops at the home in Bethany of the sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha greets him and then gets busy in the kitchen while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word. I can imagine the busier Martha gets, the more angry and frustrated that she gets as it builds up because Mary is not helping her. I picture her storming out of the kitchen as she asks Jesus why he isn't telling Mary to help her. And Jesus' response is, Martha, Martha, you're getting worked up over many things while Mary is doing the one thing needful. Well, when they heard that Jesus was coming to visit, they both started getting ready, but in very different ways. Martha got busy. She cleaned, she cooked, and she cleaned some more. I can imagine her feeling frazzled, frantic, frustrated, and possibly a little fatigued from being so busy. Does anyone here relate to that busyness? Yes, well, I can raise one hand. Me too. So what kind of things do you do in preparation? You make sure the beds are made, you make sure the floors are clean, bathrooms are clean, clean towels are out, da-da-da-da-da. So let's see how this impacts us as we watch the narrative unfold in the home of Mary and Martha. I was reminded of HGTV. How many of you watch HGTV? All those Reno shows. And Rico to the Rescue, Fixer to Fabulous, Rock Solid Bill's a Newfoundland show. Can't forget that one. or my favorite, Love It or List It. And what is it they want? They want walls taken down, clean sight lines so that they can see right through and be part of the company and conversation that's going on. And they can be doing that while they're preparing. Makes sense. And I am sure Martha was at that time separated from what was going on and missing out on the conversation between Mary and Jesus. So I can really identify with Martha, as I remember many times when we had company over. I was so busy preparing and taking care of the household, ensuring everything was good enough for the company, but I really missed out on a lot of conversations. I was there, but I wasn't there. I wasn't very present. I was listening and never heard a thing. You get it. You're nodding your head. I understand. That's great. But you know, it's very interesting because even though I was not fully present, I understand that sometimes many of us wear a busyness as a badge of honor. It validates us. It gives us worth. It gives us value. It allows us to shine. It allows us to show our gifts, use our gifts to make a difference or an impression. And so Martha goes to the kitchen to prepare the dinner, leaving Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. You know, I've been in the presence of both people, both types of people. Those have been too busy to really be fully present and never heard a word I said. And I've been in the company of other people who sat down and listened to me, undivided attention. I thought, wow, you get me. You really heard what I said. What was it that Jesus was needing on that day when he went to the house of Mary and Martha? Was he looking for food? Was he hungry? Or was he looking for someone to really listen and hear the burden of what he was anticipating in carrying that cross? The disciples were with Jesus, but don't seem to be present here. Were they tired of each other and so they needed some space, some distance? Was the house too small? Did they need a break from each other after a long road? Is Jesus tired? Is that why he comes to this house? Why do you think he would stop at the home of Mary and Martha, their friends? But why is he really there? Was he there looking for something that the crowds could not give him? Was he there looking for something that the disciples could not give him? What was he there for? I think he was hungry for someone who would listen. Someone who will understand. Someone who will feel something of the heaviness that he carries with him on that uphill road to Jerusalem. He's hungry, but maybe not for food that day. Maybe for both. So which of these hungers does Martha see when she greets him at the door? Does she see a window into what is going on inside of him? Does she see a window into what he's thinking? Does she see a window into what he's feeling? Does she see a window into what he's needing on that day? Or does she see the leanness in his face and the angle of the sun telling her, it's dinner time, I need to be busy in the kitchen? What words is he aching to say, not just to Mary, but to Martha as well? And what words is he longing to hear, not just from Mary, but from Martha as well? When Jesus arrived, Martha kept on working, but Mary sat down at Jesus' feet and listened to everything he said. She hung on to his every word. Do any of you just like to sit and listen? How good are we at it? Are you more like Martha, or are you more like Mary? Only one of them pauses. Only one of them sees the hunger in his soul, and it's not Martha. Martha's in the kitchen. She works faster to make up for Mary's absence, but the faster she works, the more steam rises, and it's not in the kitchen. It's in Martha. It reminds me of when I was growing up, being the middle of seven children and the oldest daughter, I had a lot of responsibility at a very early age. I had clothes washed and hung on the clothesline before I went to school, even in the winter when the pants were like frozen when you got home. I was making bread at the age of 10, and we all had our menial chores to do, making the bed, washing the dishes. I had a sister, actually I had two sisters, Tina and Paula, but Paula's way younger than me. But my sister Tina, who's 3 years younger than I am, her and I did the dishes. So I wash, she dry, and then we switch. But when we switched, and I was washing, she'd go in the bathroom. And I'd be, Mom, Tina's in the bathroom and won't come out. And by the time she did, I had the dishes washed, dried, and put away. Do you think I identify with Martha? Absolutely identify with Martha. Now we sit down and laugh at it, but she remembers. So yes, I relate to Martha when she storms out of the kitchen, probably pointing her finger at Jesus. She could have been waving a frying pan. Who knows? But if you notice earlier on when Lazarus had died, she went to Jesus and she said, if you had been here, see, when Lazarus died, she went to Jesus and she said, if you've been here. And here she is again at Martha, in the story of Mary and Martha. She's saying, aren't you telling her to help me? So, yes, she's frustrated at Jesus, not at Mary. And what does she say, my sister? I should have said that, might have worked. I think that it tells us how frustrated and how angry she was. Lord, don't you care? Of course he does. Instead of waiting for an answer, Martha issues an order. But what makes this interesting is that Martha was worried about something good. She has company, and it's Jesus, and her aim is to please. But as time goes by, the work becomes more important than the Lord of the work. And she was so worried so much that she began to boss God around. I don't think that goes very well. It tells you about the nature of her question and about the tone of her voice she used in asking it. But yet Jesus replies with tenderness, I imagine. Martha. Martha. There's a loving kindness, I imagine, in his tone toward her. And I wonder, did she turn around, making her way back to the kitchen, mumbling, well, he never heard a word I just said. Jesus knew something eternal was in the making, but it wasn't in the kitchen. It was at his feet. It is what's being prepared in the other room that will go on forever. And Jesus instead told Martha that sometimes being busy wasn't always the best thing. And that in this case, Mary had chosen what was most important. There are times to be busy, and there are times to just sit and be in his presence. You know, even Jesus was busy and found himself pulling away from the disciples to be in solitude, as shown in Mark chapter 1. Jesus had had an incredibly busy day. And in verse 35, it says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place to pray. Jesus took time to pull himself away. He knew what he needed to do to continue to do the work of his heavenly Father. So if it's important for Jesus to take time away and be in the presence of the Lord, how much more important is it for us to slow down and be in the presence of the Lord? Stop doing and be. Talking to myself here this morning. There's room for both. There's a work to do. Of course, there's a work to do for the Lord. And there's also time to rest. Jesus' response to Martha was like, you're busy and worried about many things, but Mary is focused on the one thing, the one true thing that matters right now, and it will not be taken from her. So like me, if you identify with Martha, I encourage you to pause and to be and to reflect on your intentions and on your doing, to really evaluate your wholeness in relationship to Christ and in your relationship to doing. The words Martha spoken to Martha are words spoken also to the Martha in me. It was her worry, not her work. It was her distractions, not her preparation. It wasn't the many things. It was that the many things came before the one thing that was most important at that time. There didn't seem to be a quietness within Martha, no solitude of heart, no stillness. She was anxious and busy, busy, busy. There was a little girl who grew up in a small house but a large family. And this little girl had a very small bedroom off the dining room. Her dad would get up very early in the morning to go to work. And this little girl would be listening for the stirring of the tea. It was a sign that he was up having breakfast. And this little girl would be listening and waiting so she could get up to be with him, even if it was for a few minutes. She loved spending time with her dad. And it was this time of morning when she had her dad all to herself. And sometimes they didn't even say a thing. They were just together. She had not come to ask him for anything. She had just wanted to be near him and love him. That little girl was me. You see, there are parts of Mary in me as well. My dad worked for Department of Highways, so he was up early in the morning plowing snow. And as I was preparing for today, I thought, how often do I spend time in God's presence just loving him, becoming acquainted with him, getting to know him just a little bit better, not asking for anything, but just be in his presence? You see, God not only wants us to bring our requests to him, but he also wants us to spend time with him. We are busy. Yes, we are busy. We live in a society that expects a lot of us. And as we ponder in his greatness and holiness this morning, we also realize that his love and concern for each of us is very personal. Our hearts are filled with worship and adoration as we come before him this morning. But Jesus extends an invitation to be his company, in his presence, his company. He invites us in to sit at his feet. And I feel we all lose our way at times. And when we lose the sacredness of another human being, when we lose the opportunity to be in his presence and realize that we've lost sight of something, especially those closest to us, and we need to reevaluate. Yes, there have been times when I am Mary, and there have been times when I am Martha. But over the years, as I have had the opportunity to look deeper into my life, the more I see of Martha. I've spent a lot of time in preparation for this service and this sermon. And I, at times, looked in the mirror and thought I met myself for the first time. Really looked myself in the face and said, you know what? You need to be spending more time being than doing, even though I'm retired. But we're so distracted, aren't we? Especially with our devices. But we need to be more distracted with this. I think there are a little bit of both sisters in all of us, don't you think? Yes. The tool of distortion is one of the devil's uses. He didn't take Martha out of the kitchen. He took away her purpose for being in the kitchen. I challenge each of us to live in a way where we don't lose sight of what's important or lose a sense of the sacredness of being in his presence or the sacredness of being with others. I want to live at the Savior's feet like Mary and gaze into his eyes, listening to his every word and living my life for him. I'm sure you here this morning want the same thing. We want to live for him. We want to be in his presence. You see, at his feet is where we pause. At his feet is where we pray for God's grace and mercy. At his feet is where we ponder the blessings of God. At his feet is where we pray. At his feet is where we enjoy his presence. And it starts by loving him and longing to hear his voice and being in his presence and in relationship with him. And when we're at his feet and our heart is still, we can hear him even when he whispers. Martha was Martha and God loved her. Mary was Mary and God loved her. You are you and God loves you. And God says, trust me enough to spend time with me. Let go of some of the demands for a time and stop doing and be. Be still and know that I am God, says 46 and 10 in Psalm. This message comes not with a sense of shame because we don't do enough. And you can play that in the background. Be still and know that I am God. This message comes not with a sense of shame because we don't do enough or we do too much. But rather it comes with a sense of grace and assurance that says, you don't have to do all of that in order to be enough. Come just as you are. You don't have to do all of that to be worthy of the presence of the Lord, to be loved by him. His grace, his goodness, his love and mercy is inherently yours. And you can find it in his presence time and time again. That is what is shown in the interaction with Mary and Jesus. And the character of Martha is necessary because she provides the contrast that teaches us that. So thank you, Martha. And thank you, my friends, for allowing me to share this message with you today that God has laid on my heart. And as we come into his presence, let's sing, Be Still and Know That I Am God. Be you to come this morning if God's laid it on your heart, if God is speaking to you. Maybe there's something you need to let go of to be in his presence this morning and you want to pray about it. This mercy seat is opened. An extended invitation to you this morning as we sing. You know, the Marthas are out there and they're preparing, and that's great. And they will wait as they're preparing. We don't want to let time pass this morning without giving you an invitation to come, and then we will join them. Be still. Just be still, just for a few more moments, in his presence. Maybe you want to stand as we sing it. Encourage you to come as we sing. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you. Because you have caused us to be still. You've caused us to pause in your presence and ponder your blessings. You've spoken into our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that as the week unfolds before us, not knowing what this week will bring forth, we pray, Father, that we will make it a priority to be still, to be before we do, so that you can equip us to do the work that you've called each one of us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing that one more time. Thank you for the privilege of being here this morning to share and lead in this service. I count it a great privilege and an honor, and I get excited, a little overexcited when I have to do it, because it's what God's called me to, even though I've retired, but I still enjoy doing the ministry that God has called me to do. So thank you, Major Don, for the privilege of being here this morning. We're going to sing, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Can I hear an amen if that's what's happened? Amen. "Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul, for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart." Towards the end of the song, Major Norman's going to come, and Major Norman Wood, he and I did ministry together at Eventide for 5 years, side by side. And he's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. I told him I was going to say that. And we have great chats driving here together on Sunday mornings, and it's a privilege to worship with you people. And I feel so at home here, and I thank you for that. So let's sing together. What a wonderful change. All right, let's sing. I shall the abiding presence
and power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and until our Lord Jesus comes again. Oh, what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see, when we look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. We wait. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful promise from your word for every believer. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah for our blessed hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior and Redeemer. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings. Thank you, Major Lord.